There we go. I got it taken care of. I did the wrong thing. And now I've got to hit another button. And there we go. I'm set. anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Scott's show was kind of interesting. He was struggling to get people to call in. And I've been through that. He asked about collections. And I was going to ask him before he left, but he's already out of the building. What was the one thing that somebody texted into us that they collect that they can only keep one of? It's hard to have a collection of one, right? I suppose maybe cars. You might collect Duesenbergs or something like that, and you only have one because that's all you can afford. Anyway, I told Scott I collect marbles, and that I can absolutely prove that I have not lost my marbles. I've got them on a jar in our kitchen, and I probably have a very large mason jar full to the brim of marbles. I used to think that they were going to be valuable, but they're not. They're pretty to look at, and I guess there are probably a few of them in there that are more valuable than others. I think somebody said that I have some Aggies, and those are a little bit more valuable than a normal nickel marble. But anyway, I like to look at them, and it's my collection, so there. Yeah. Today we're going to do no politics today. My wife and I have been watching the trial, or the Senate trial of the president, and have been astounded. But I don't think it's going to change anything, quite frankly. So I'm not going to talk about politics today. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day. What do you think? We're only a few days off. Let's see, what is today's date? Today is February the 11th. So that means in 3 days we'll have Valentine's Day. Now, like I said, when Scott asked me, do you give your wife of anything for Valentine's Day? I smile at her in the morning. I say, Happy Valentine's Day. And that's what we give each other for Valentine's Day. That's it. It's just not one of those days that I don't have to prove to her that I love her. That's why I gave her 3 children, so she could take care of them, and they could tell her they love her. Oh, that's terrible. I didn't really mean that. But today we're going to have trivia about Valentine's Day, and there were some things in here. There were a lot of things that were pretty silly, like what color is a Valentine usually? You know, it's red. But there were others that were kind of interesting. And one of which, we'll get to it, but there is a mother of Valentine's Day. And I'm going to explain that to you. And it didn't explain it to me very well, but we're going to at least talk about it here in a couple of seconds. The first one. What activity increases a person's pulse to at least 110 beats per minute? Now, I bought I gave myself a belated Christmas present. It was one of those GPS watches. It was a really cheap one. I didn't buy an expensive one. I think it only cost me $30. So it was not. But I wanted to follow my heart rate. And as I've told you over the air, I had a mild heart attack about 10 years ago. So I thought if I could get one that tells me my heart rate, my blood pressure, and my oxygen in my blood, that would help me out so I could keep an eye on myself, make sure that something isn't going way astray. Well, I got one. I love it, and I look at it all the time, and I do my pulse all the time, make sure that my pulse. I have had a low pulse most of my life. I attribute it to being an athlete, because you had to run every day, and if you were breathing hard, your coach would scream at you. So I think I taught myself how to have a low blood pulse, but my pulse runs around 60, And that's not real high, which is good for, especially for a person that has heart problems. I'm a person that believes that when you are born in the day you're born, there's a chart up in heaven, which you know I don't believe in, that tells you how many heartbeats you're going to have for the rest of your life. And I figure if I have less heartbeats, maybe I'll live a little longer. What do you think? I don't know. And so anyway, I do like to look at the watch for that. The other two things, the oxygen and the blood pressure. I know my blood pressure usually when I go to the doctors is somewhere around 135 over 75 or somewhere around there. Just a tad high, but not real bad. I'm on blood pressure medicine, so it shouldn't be bad. The oxygen level is always either 99 or 98, which is very fine. I mean, that's perfect. That's what you want. But I'm not sure I trust either one of those because my blood pressure always shows 120 over, or as low as 110 over probably around 60, which would be pretty low for a guy with that's 74 and overweight and had heart problems. But I measure it with a regular, what is it called? The cuff that you put around your arm, and it's usually about what the doctor gets. So I'm guessing that maybe it's my watch is a little low, but at least I can watch it and see if there's a time where it increases. And I have seen a time when I was I had my watch on and I was irritated about something, severely irritated about something, and my blood pressure did go up. So I'm guessing it at least measures relatively, if that's a word, it measures what it, you know, whether it's going up or down. So that's where we are. Anyway, what activity increases as a person's pulse goes that will increase somebody's pulse up to 110 beats per minute. Now, I'm not sure what size sampling they took on this, but they say kisses will make your blood pressure or your pulse rate go up to 110. I would guess that this has something to do with who you're kissing. Wouldn't you think that? I would. I've been, when I was younger, I was not a bad-looking young man, and for some reason or other, more than once, I was asked to do a kissing booth when I was in high school. And I know that there were some people that I kissed that I'm sure my blood pressure or my pulse rate did not go up. But anyway, we had I had a good time. We raised some funds, and anyway, I did some kissing back then and didn't even think about diseases or anything, which I probably should have. What do you think? Okay, number two. Let's go to our second. What are these called? Trivia question about Valentine's Day. In what year did Hallmark launch its first Valentine's Day product? Not card, product. I'm guessing they're talking about, heart-shaped medallion or something, you know, something along that line. What year did Hallmark launch its first Valentine's Day product? And you may be surprised, you may not. Valentine's Day goes way back, but the first time Hallmark launched a Valentine's Day product was in 1916. I wonder if my father gave my mother something. Well, they were mere children at that time. That was kind of interesting. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was talking to my wife about getting older, and I thought to myself, I remember my grandfather, both my grandfather Smith, who lived in north of Boston, and my grandfather Coble, who lived in Indianapolis. I remember them very well. I can see them in my mind's eye. They were born, both of them were born in the 1880s. Holy cow! It's hard to imagine that here in 2021, I remember and knew people born in 1880-something. Think about it. You have, I'm sure some of you out there have relatives that were born even before 1880. And I don't mean just relatives. I mean first-hand relatives, grandfathers, grandmothers, that type of thing. Valentine's Day product that was launched by Hallmark was done in 1916. That was back in a time when I think probably people gave more Valentine's. Well, I think people do give Valentine's a lot. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure they do. Do you remember as a kid having that box that you would put on your desk on Valentine's Day and people would put Valentine cards into it, and then at the end of the day you'd open up your box and see how many you had? There was always some very quiet young man that would be sitting there with a sad look on his face that got two, and then there was always somebody that, you know, the handsome guy or the handsome girl in your class who had 150, you know. And for some reason or other we did it in front of each other. I guess my teacher was a masochist or something, a sadist or whatever they call it. Sadist. And
there have always been rumors that
let's take a break.
Murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey, we're back. On the... And we're going back over Valentine's days of past years and doing some Valentine's trivia. I was talking about that box that you used to put on your desk. Now, maybe you didn't do it. Maybe that was just in South Bend, Indiana, where we had crazy teachers who liked to make kids cry. Anyway, I remember the two, Marilyn Hurdle. We called her Marilyn Hurdle Girdle. You know, you always, as a kid, you always want to make them dirty names or something. But Marilyn Hurdle and her cousin Diane were the two most beautiful girls in our class. As a matter of fact, her cousin Diane has gotten in touch with me on Facebook, which is kind of fun. Now, my Facebook was hacked, so I'm not sure I'll ever see her again, but I've changed it, by the way, and I now have a new Facebook and a new password, so hopefully it won't happen again. But anyway, those two, Marilyn and Diane, always had a mountain of Valentines. And, you know, the Valentines back then were probably the ones that Mom went and bought a little brochure that had Valentines that were perforated into a page, and you'd take those out, and they didn't cost more than a few cents each. And but now you can get Valentines that cost hundreds of dollars. Well, old Valentines, especially some of the old, very flamboyant Valentines get thousands of dollars. But anyway, the ones that we handed each other in Colfax Grade School when I was a kid in South Bend, Indiana, they probably didn't cost more than a penny or two. All right, let us move on. Now, this one is probably the dumbest trivia question I've ever asked on the air. And the reason why is if you don't know the answer to this, I think you ought to get back in bed, pull the covers up over your head, and go back to sleep. Who is the symbol of Valentine's? Well, the answer, of course, is Cupid. Now, one of the interesting things about Cupid is later on, one of the questions is about Cupid's girlfriend. So I'm not sure if it was a girlfriend or just a friend that was a girl or whether it was his wife. But we'll go over that. Now, the next question is one I have never, ever heard of. And I'm going to read some explanation about it. Who is the mother of American Valentine? Who is the mother? Now, have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard that there was a mother of American Valentine's? Well, the answer is Esther Howland. And I had never heard of her either. But let me explain it. Esther Howland is a native of Massachusetts, or at least she was, and she popularized the greeting cards for Valentine's Day, which is why most of her cards are a collector's item right now. So anyway, it looks to me like we have a phone call. It's kind of suspicious. Let's see who's on the line. Hang on. Hello, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Sorry, wrong number.
Okay, thank you. Bye. Yeah, that's what I thought. It looked like a wrong number. It was asking about, it said presidential something. So my guess is it was a survey. And they hung up on us. They didn't want to know anything about Valentine's Day. They wanted to know about presidential stuff. All right. Anyway, Esther Howland, if you can find a card that was designed and popularized by her, you are one of those people that gets one of those very valuable cards, you know, a few thousand dollars maybe even. I'm not sure. Now, this is one that you probably understand quite easily. What do red roses symbolize? Now, this is red roses. And I'll tell you what. Hello. Yeah, I'm getting all sorts of crazy phone calls today. And most of them are junk. I turned my sound off so my next call won't come through. Okay. What do red roses symbolize? Now, that's almost as obvious is who is the symbol of Valentine's, but not quite. Red roses symbolize love. And I'm not sure what type of love. We'll have to go to our Greek dictionary and pick out one of the seven definitions of love and go with it. But anyway, red roses symbolize love. My guess is the type of love they're talking about is, you know, the type of love that you have when you're 18 years old for that girl across the way or that boy that lives down the street, right? But that's what red roses symbolize. But guess what? What do you think yellow roses symbolize? Just friendship. Whatever you do on Valentine's Day, do not give your girlfriend a yellow rose. It symbolizes friendship, unless you want to get rid of her. Oh, my. What is the date today? Is this the 11th, did I say? I think I did. And you're listening to On the Air, and I'm Glenn Coble. You're welcome to call in if you'd like to, 740-383-9944. You might call in and tell me the most unusual thing you've given your girlfriend or boyfriend on Valentine's Day if you'd like to. I'm not begging for calls. If you don't want to call in, please feel free just to leave the radio on and listen, because I got lots of trivia. I think I have about 40 questions, and they're all kind of interesting. We'll go for the next hour and a half maybe with these type of things. And if you have a trivia question about Valentine's Day, go ahead. Feel free to call in. All right. Now, do not give your girlfriend or boyfriend a yellow rose, because that says, you're my friend. Nothing worse than having a girl tell you after you've been dating them for a while, you know, I think we really ought to end this because you are my best friend. Have you ever had that happen? I think I've had it happen a couple of times. All right. You know, when people send you a Valentine's, quite often you'll see at the bottom, OXOXOXOX. You know what that means? Of course you do. Love and kisses, right? Or hugs and kisses, I'm sorry. But what of those two letters is hugs, and what of those two letters is kisses? Hugs is the O, and kisses is the X. It's almost logical, you know, kissing, you kind of cross each other, you know, like an X. And the O is a hug. And it's kind of, an O kind of shows what you look like when you put your arms around somebody. Your arms kind of form an O. So the O is for hugs, and the X is for kisses, right? All right. My nose is starting to stuff up. Stop. You know, I'm getting verklempt here. Can't talk with my nose. We're going to have an interesting swap shop today. Maybe we're going to have somebody call in that is a master swap shopper. But also, I've got lots of questions and answers and tips for people that want to have a garage sale. Now, don't do it this week. It's going to get down to zero one of the days. But my wife said to me last night, why don't you do a show about giving people hints about garage sales and yard sales and the like? I said, why would I do that? She said, because it's February. It's only 2 months away from April, which is when garage sales start. So 8 weeks from now, maybe 10 weeks from now, we will start to have some garage sales and maybe have them announced on Swap Shop. That is if we get enough people vaccinated for COVID. Let's hope we can. I'm still waiting for my phone call saying they're ready to vaccinate me. I am in group B1, I think, over 70 with a former heart attack. I think somebody should call me and say, hey, we got your vaccine. Nobody has done it yet, though. I'm not terribly concerned about it. I wear a mask whenever I'm outside, and I try to stay away from people, and I don't go very many places. I don't mind that. And the nice thing about being retired, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You can sit around the house, watch TV, take care of the dog. What I've been doing is gardening in my basement. It's kind of fun. I have some pepper plants that are 8-10 inches tall already. I don't know what I'm going to do if they get so tall that I can't get them underneath my grow light, but they're kind of fun, and they are. One of them is starting to pop out some baby peppers, so maybe we'll have some soon. I hope. I love hot peppers that you grow yourself. The bell peppers I get never are quite as good as the ones that I get in the store, but maybe that's not true. They're just a little different, right? Anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with Valentine's Day, does it? Well, let's stop here and continue on with another question. Now, this was I bet you know the answer to this one. Who kissed the girls and made them cry? Remember that? Who kissed the girls and made them cry? Now, it comes from a popular English nursery rhyme, and the answer to that is Georgie Porgy. Georgie Porgy kissed the girls and made them cry. Let me see if I've got, I think I have it right here. Georgie Porgy, Puddin' and Pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. He just liked to kiss the girls. I remember as a little kid, I used to brag to people that I had 20 girlfriends when I was 6 or 7 years old. I had a brother who was 7 or 8 years older than I am, and he always had a girlfriend. So I wanted to be better than my brother. So I always said I had 20 girlfriends. Well, first of all, I included all his former girlfriends and his current girlfriend as my girlfriends in my mind. I also include every girl that was in my class. So it was kind of weird when I was a kid. I still am, I guess. But Georgie Porgy was the guy that kissed the girls and made them cry. All right, we're getting close to another break. I'm going to try and get this one right this time. I usually forget one of them in honor of Charlie. Charlie used to forget them all the time. I've gotten pretty good about catching about half of them. All right. What is the record-breaking kissing event called that happened in the Philippines? That happened in the Philippines. You know what it is? It's called Lovapalooza. Now, I have never heard of Lovapalooza, but it was an event that was created to get the Guinness World Record for the most number of simultaneously kissing couples. And the first one started in 2014. But unfortunately, they don't tell us what the record was. I guess you have to buy the book. That's kind of what they're forcing you to do. Well, we're going to take a break here in a couple of seconds, and we'll be back after a couple of minutes and talk more trivia about Valentine's Day. You're listening to On the Air.
Scott, you know we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist, but actually one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Air. Our phone number here is 740-383-9944. If you're even slightly interested in giving us a call, feel free. We're doing a little bit of Valentine's trivia. I want to get you all ready. 3 days from now, we have Valentine's Day, and I want you to be ready with all the correct answers. Now, this is kind of an interesting... it's related to Valentine's Day, but only name only. Do you remember a film that was back in right around the turn of the century, 2001, I guess it was? The film was called Valentine. Do you remember what style of show that was? Kind of interesting. It includes it included Denise Richards. Let's see who else was in it that you might know. Jessica Capshaw, Catherine Heigl. David Borenaz. I'm not a big movie watcher, so I don't know these people's names. Anyway, it was a horror show. Valentine. That was the name of it, and it was a horror show. I can understand that. I've had some romantic relationships when I was a young man that were kind of a horror show. I usually was the horror, and my girlfriend was usually subjected to my bad habits. Do you know what website was born on Valentine's Day? This is kind of interesting. YouTube was born on Valentine's Day. I wonder if they had strange Valentines that they posted on YouTube that day. I'm not a, I'm not a big fan. How about you? I'm not a big fan of watching all those crazy YouTube videos that they have. You know, somebody going down a railing on a skateboard and slipping and having the legs end up on either side of the railing, or the picture of the you know, there are all sorts of really nasty ones, and I'm not going to go into them, but I'm not a big fan of that sort of thing. My wife, however, loves the pictures of little babies doing things. She's now watching a little baby who plays plays the piano or something. She also loves pictures of puppy dogs doing silly things. And now I like that. I like puppy dogs doing silly things. I have friends that send me those, and I don't mind that. I must say that most of those that I get, I don't spend more than about 5 seconds watching them. Kind of fun to have those. But anyway, YouTube was born on Valentine's Day. Now, remember, that's only 3 days away. So if it's important in your family, between you and your loved one or loved ones, it's only 3 days away. So you better get out there and get your card and candy. I guess that's the most typical thing people get. Now, we have a great candy store here in Marion, I have bought candy there for customers. I've bought them for my wife at times. My old age is jumping at me right now. I can't even remember. I will remember it, and I will get back to you. It's a great candy store run by local people. Oh my goodness, how in the world can I forget that? He's a friend of mine. Anyway, I'm so embarrassed that I've forgotten it that I'm going to look it up on my phone and see if I can find the name. Marion, Ohio. That's where we live, right? Marion, Ohio. Let's see what it says. Shirks, of course. Shirks. Shirks candy. Fantastic. I don't know why in the world I couldn't remember that. Well, I got the site up here. Let me tell you a couple other places you might go locally that you might like. There's Shirk's Candy, which is, I'm not sure what, is that Prospect? I think it is on Prospect. Not too far from where Prospect crosses Barks Road, out there by the post office and the Moto Mart or whatever it is out there. Go there. They have fantastic, I don't mean good, they have fantastic candy. Now, another place that has really, really good candy, two other places I'm going to mention, the Candy Shack and also Coon's Candy, which is out north, pretty far north of town, but they're very famous. I happen to notice on here, Shirk's Candy has 5 stars. How often do you see 5 stars on candy or on anything? Now, both Coons and Candy Shack have 4.5, but Shirk's has 5 stars. So it's a lot of people really like Shirk's candy. And you'll like going there because it's all homemade. It's made in the basement, I believe. If you ask Rick, I think that's where it is. Don't forget, 3 days from now, Valentine's Day. Let's continue on with some of our Valentine's trivia. Time right now, by the way, is 10:52, and in the next hour we'll continue this. But in the third hour, which is Swap Shop, we're going to go over all sorts of things, do's and don'ts of having a garage sale. I know we're early, but just need to start writing this stuff down. All right. How many U.S. towns are named Valentine? That's kind of an interesting question. I'll give you a second. Now, I'll tell you why I gave you a second. I had to get a drink of my coffee. All right. There are 4 towns in the United States named Valentine. And here are their location. There's a Valentine, Arizona, a Valentine, Nebraska, a Valentine, Texas, and probably the closest one to us is a Valentine, Virginia. And I wonder why it would be nice to know why they were named Valentine. Why they decided that was a good name for a town. But anyway, it could be a family name, Valentine. There is a surname, Valentine. But Arizona, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia all have towns named Valentine. Okay. Continuing on here, we have lots more questions, so I will continue on. Which candy company is known as the producer of the Conversation Hearts? Now, that's in quotation marks, so that's what they call them, Conversation Hearts. You know, the little, quarter-inch big or maybe 3/8-inch big heart made purely out of sugar, it must be. It always has something on it like love you or best friend, or it has some little saying on it. I used to like to get those because I don't know why. I guess it's like getting a Chinese fortune cookie. You just got to read it, see what it says. Well, anyway, it's Necco Company. Necco Company is the candy company that is known to produce the Conversation Hearts. I imagine there are other companies now that kind of rip them off, but they're the originator of the Conversation Hearts. Now, they also have Necco Wafers. You remember those? Supposedly, and I think I've tried this many times and never satisfied, but I think supposedly if you get under the covers at night and everything's absolutely dark and you snap one of the white Necco wafers, it'll give you a spark. Now, I can't honestly say I've ever seen that, but I think I had friends that used to tell me that. But I had friends that told me all sorts of stuff that wasn't true when I was a kid, right? They weren't old wives' tales. They were old kids' tales, right? And they're headquartered in Revere, Massachusetts. I wonder if that was named after Paul. I imagine it was. The Necco Company is New England Confectionery Company. That's what Necco stands for, New England Confectionery Company. And it was created way back in 1901. I saw a gentleman on my Facebook who's 111 years old, but he was not alive when Necco Company started. Let's see, I'm trying to see what the answer here. I have an answer with no question. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I see why. I probably cut this one out and didn't really cut it out. It was what company's business is making us fall in love deeper. And it's Pfizer Company, and it's because they are the popular maker, or they are the drug company that makes Viagra. I'm pretty sure I wiped that question out. Naturally, I gave it to you now, right? Okay. What mobster led the gangsters behind the St. Valentine's Day massacre? Do you remember? Well, of course, you probably don't remember. I don't remember. It was before I was born. But it was in Chicago, and it was led by Al Capone. Now, I'm not sure that he was actually there with a gun, but he was the instigator of the St. Valentine's Day massacre that killed several of his enemies, his gangster enemies, in the basement. And it wasn't too far from where I used to work at DePaul University. I didn't go and see it. We ate at a place about two blocks away from DePaul that was right across the street from the Bijou, I think it was, which was the theater where John Dillinger was shot. But I never did get to see where the St. Valentine's Day massacre happened, and which was led by Al Capone. All right, not a very happy Valentine's trivia question there. During the Victorian era, what were sent to suitors that you don't like? A guy that keeps knocking on, we call them stalkers now, I think. A guy keeps knocking on your door and he wants you to fall in love with him, and so he gives you all sorts of stuff, or a girl that does the same thing. During the Victorian era, what would you send that person to let them know that their affections were not wanted and were not going to be returned? It was called a vinegar valentine. Now, a vinegar valentine, they are cards that were especially made to be sent anonymously to persons you dislike. They contain characters and insulting poems, and they were called a vinegar valentine. I never could find out if they actually dipped them in vinegar, but that's what a vinegar valentine is. It's one you send to somebody you don't want to keep bugging you, right? A stalker, so to speak. But those were done back in the Victorian era. And I wonder if Queen Victoria had any vinegar valentine she sent out. She was a single woman, I believe, all of her life. I think she did have a lover early. We'll have to ask somebody that knows the answer to, one of our historians that we have around town or on.
You're listening
on the
to
phone.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M, so Marla Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla.
And so I don't know, that's why it was successful, but it was.